Chapter 18 in your Bibles, if you would. Job chapter number 18. Got a pretty interesting take on this chapter tonight. I really believe the Lord kind of opened it up to me. And I'm thankful for that because, man, this stuff can get monotonous. I don't find Job to be anything like Proverbs. In the book of Proverbs, you know, you just had so much packed in there in each verse, so much wisdom, and so many different routes that thing could go. And when you come to the book of Job, you have so much misinformation given to you, with truth sprinkled in, that it's a little bit of a, and yet it's inspired, every word of it's got to be where it is, it's a bit tricky. And then to add another layer to it, and obviously the first application of Scripture and the most important layer is the doctrinal perspective that we haven't spent a ton of time on as we've gone through here, but I continue to remind you, just sort of laying that foundation for you as time goes on, that doctrinally this thing pictures the Jew in the tribulation period. And so that's important not to forget. Job chapter 18, verse number 1, then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, how long will it be ere you make an end of words? Mark, and afterwards we will speak. Wherefore are we counted as beasts and reputed vile in your sight? He teareth himself in his anger. Shall the earth be forsaken for thee, and shall the rock be removed out of his place? Yea, the light of the wicked shall be put out, and the spark of his fire shall not shine. The light shall be dark in his tabernacle, and his candle shall be put out with him. The steps of his strength shall be straightened, and his own counsel shall cast him down. For he is cast into a net by his own feet, and he walketh upon a snare. The jinn shall take him by the heel, and the robber shall prevail against him. The snare is laid for him in the ground, and a trap for him in the way. Terrors shall make him afraid on every side, and shall drive him to his feet. His strength shall be hunger-bitten, and destruction shall be ready at his side. It shall devour the strength of his skin, even the firstborn of death shall devour his strength. His confidence shall be rooted out of his tabernacle, and shall bring him to the king of terrors. Wow. Yeah, you know who that is, right? The king of terrors? That's Lucifer. How art thou cast down, who should weaken the nations? It shall dwell in his tabernacle, because it is none of his. Brimstone shall be scattered upon his habitation. His roots shall be dried up beneath, and above shall his branch be cut off. His remembrance shall perish from the earth, and he shall have no name in the street. He shall be driven from light into darkness and chased out of the world. You know what that's talking about? Who's going to get chased out of this world? It's the Antichrist. When Jesus Christ comes back to set up his kingdom, he is going to drive the Antichrist out of this world, who's going to be the world conqueror, the world leader at the time. He shall never have son nor nephew among his people, because the Antichrist is a homosexual. Nor any, he doesn't have the desire for, do you know that? It says, neither shall he have the desire for women. He doesn't have a son or a nephew, because they can't reproduce, they can't procreate, recruit. Thank you. They can't reproduce, so they recruit. They shall come out, neither shall he have son or nephew among his people, nor any remaining in his dwellings. They that come after him shall be astonished at his day, as they that went before were affrighted. Surely such are the dwellings of the wicked, and this is the place of him that knoweth not God. Now here's the wild thing about this. Do you realize that starting in verse number 5 and running down to verse number 21, everything he said about the wicked is true? Now, wait a quick second. Not everything that he says in here is going to happen overnight. Right? Not everything that he says in here is going to happen even necessarily in a wicked man's lifetime. But everything that happens that he says in here about a wicked man eventually does happen, whether in this life or when he goes to the judgment. All these terrible things. I mean, you see him talking about the jinn shall take him by the heel. The snare is laid for him and a trap for him in the way. Well, when you think of a jinn, he's talking about a trap. a snare. You know the cross references on that. Not a novice, so it's being lifted up with pride, fallen approach, and a snare of the devil, right? So the devil's setting out snares for the wicked, while the man's following the devil, snares are catching him, traps are coming on him, and this whole thing is picturesque of the way they would trap lions and the way they would trap animals and all this stuff in the ancient times. He's explaining certain types of snares that they would use to trap a lion. Yeah, this is all true about the wicked. You know what the problem is? None of this stuff applies to Job. Because God said that he was a perfect and upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. So this man is preaching a whole bunch of truth, but he's misapplying the truth. That's what I want to talk to you about tonight. You realize this book in your hand is sharper than a what sword? Two-edged sword. This Bible is written in such a way, now watch this, it's written in such a way as to give you truth and give you light if you want light. But you know what else the same book will do? It'll cut you the other direction. If you want the truth and if you're seeking God and if you're seeking help for your life, you get in this book and this thing will cut you very gently, like a surgeon's expert blade, very sharp, very gently. And man, if you even got the right heart, sometimes God will give you a little anesthesia to make the surgery a little bit more bearable. I'm telling you, He will. I don't care what you think. I know for a fact that when God has cut me with the Bible and showed me where I'm wrong and where I've messed up, He has a way of sending that Holy Spirit into my system. I mean, kind of coursing through my veins. Something was in there that made that pain and my pride that was hurt and the fact that I didn't like what the book was saying about me and I didn't like the sin I saw and the errors I saw in myself, but it didn't send me into this depression or self-loathing or this hatred of me like the devil will do to you. Instead, it made me realize, yeah, that's a problem. And then I realized that that book was just cutting me where I needed to be cut to get some cancer out of me so that I could go on and live a healthier life. It was lancing that hematoma so that thing could drain and the pressure could back off and the pain could go away and the thing could heal. That's the surgeon's blade. That same exact book, this one right here in my hand, this book not only will save your soul and save your life, the Bible uses that phrase in regards to obeying this book, save your life, not talking about your soul. Once your soul is saved, your life can be condemned. You think as a born-again Christian, you can go out here and get on the illegal market and buy some heroin and shoot up and not run the same exact chance of getting a bad dose like everybody else is nowadays and dying. That's a condemned life, born again. So the Bible will save your soul, but it will also save your life. But you know what else the same exact book will do? This book, if you ignore it and walk away from it, throw it to the side and refuse to live it and disregard it, will damn your soul. God will say, open the book. Yeah, it says right there, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, nobody told me. All right, run over there to Psalms. I want to see Psalms 19. Yeah, it says right here, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork, day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. Well, I know, but I was over there and there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Is that it? Yeah, that's it. Okay, what was your excuse again? You understand that this book will not only save your soul, but if you reject the truths in it, it'll mess you up. Now you got a guy here in the verses 1 through 4 who's misapplying truth. Bildad the Shuhite. He hasn't spoken since chapter 8. So he's been sitting here all this time listening to all this back and forth banter and evaluating and criticizing and judging one of the greatest men that ever walked the planet. I didn't say that. God said it. Hast thou seen my servant Job? Lucifer. The one who verses 5 through 21 applies to, truth properly applied. Have you seen my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth, one that fears God and eschews evil. And Bildad's sitting here listening to all this banter back and forth and listening to all the things coming out of Job's mouth in his pain, in his heartbreak, in his misery, as Lucifer himself is attacking the man, unseen by human eyes. He is as a normal, I'm going to use the term Christian to make it applicable to us, is evaluating Job's life and the circumstances he can see based on the truth he knows. And he's saying, since snares come to the wicked, since the wicked's light has turned to darkness, since on and on and on we can go, and all these things seem to be befalling you, Job, therefore you must be that. He has truth misapplied. And can I tell you, one of the most dangerous things you can do is misapply truth. And what really gets down in my craw and begins to bother my soul is that preachers for centuries and churches all over have taken this Bible and grabbed a little bit of truth and then misapplied that, and as a result done more damage with the Word of God than they've done good. I can grab a verse of the Bible for about anything I want. I've heard guys preach myself, you should not have a TV in your house because the Bible says television to no man. I've heard them use the Bible to preach their own personal preferences and twist it to that extent. You can use that Bible to push any agenda you want to push. Any agenda. Do you know the communists use their Bible? They use the early church in the book of Acts where they sold everything and had all things common. And they say, see, it's in the Bible. Truth misapplied. You realize if you take the truth and misapply it, you can mess other people up, not just yourself and your own life, but you can mess up other people. You will not be able to help somebody. You will not be able to minister to somebody if you don't understand how to properly administer the truth of the Word of God. But before we get into that, look at this man. Let's see what his problem is. Look at verse 2. He says, how long will it be ere ye make an end of words? Mark, and afterwards we will speak. So he's been sitting here all this time, this immature little baby Christian who knows a little bit of truth, a little bit of the Word of God. I mean, he kind of has a grasp on some things now. And some of the things he has a grasp on, he's right about. And he's sitting here listening to a great man who he does not know is a great man because he's not God. He can't see his spirit. He can't see his heart. He can't see the thoughts of his mind. He can look and see what he's doing in the body, but he doesn't know what's going on between that man and his God throughout his life. And he's looking at the circumstances. And he's taking the little bit of knowledge he knows like an immature young person. And he's judging and evaluating something he can't comprehend. And now the first thing out of his mouth is a put down to Job. He's saying, how long are you going to keep running your mouth? Wait a second. He's supposed to have showed up as a comforter. That would literally be like me walking into a hospital visit and you've been in the hospital for months. A traumatic brain injury or God only knows what. And me walking in there and sitting there and then saying, are you ever going to shut up and let me talk? Johnny, I didn't do that to you, did I? No, okay, good. Not that you remember, right? Okay, good. You know, when people are in pain and when they're hurting real bad, when they've been hurting a long time and it's dragging on and on and on, stuff will start coming out of their mouth. And the best thing you can do if you think they shouldn't have just said what they said is you say, Lord, help them. Lord, help them. Don't say a word. Why? Because it's absolutely stupid to say something at that point. Here he is. How long are you going to keep talking? Mark! And when you're done, I'll speak. What an idiot. You know what he says then, next in the next verse? He says, something to the tune of, how long are you going to call us vile, right? Wherefore are we counted as beasts and reputed vile in your sight? Wait a second. When did Job ever say that? Do you know what happens when you use truth the wrong way, or when you think you know more than you know? You will start giving a false report. I guarantee it every time. You'll give a false report. You know what he's doing right there? He's giving a false report. Job never said you're a beast. Job never said you're vile. Actually, you know what? Job is very, very different than Bildad. See, Bildad is all messed up and aggravated now and frustrated now because he's sitting here and being overlooked since chapter 8. How come everybody else can say something and I can't? I got something to say. He shouldn't be talking like that. I know I'm going to stick up for God. So now he's just kind of like, it's like boiling over because nobody's recognized him. Nobody's given him a shot at the pulpit. Nobody's let him voice his opinion. And he's frustrated with Job, like, how long are you going to keep talking? And how come you don't respect me? You see his pride? You see his self-exaltation in the fact that he would even say that? Job never did that to him. But what Job did say is, you guys are miserable comforters. What Job did talk about was the way they're using the word of God. And Job did correct them. And when Job corrected them, Job was right in the things Job said about them. And when Job was right, it made Bildad mad. And he said, how come you're putting me down? His pride got poked. He touched a nerve. Watch the difference between Job, one who knows how to handle the truth, and Bildad. Go to Job chapter 40. Keep your finger here in 18 because we're coming right back. Job chapter 40. Look at verse 4. Now remind yourself, Job never called him vile. Job wasn't making personal attacks on him. Job, listen, even if you look back and say that was a personal attack, Job was defending himself. You understand? Job chapter 40, verse 4. Behold, I am. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. You know what Job called himself in Job 40, verse 4? He called himself vile. Back to Job 18, Bildad. Why you call us vile? Job, oh man, God, I'm vile. Do you see the difference? No wonder one guy was a great man and the other guy was a chump. Because the one guy said, God, I'm vile. The other guy said, don't you call me vile. There's a difference in their characters. Back in Job 18. So his pride's all spiked up and angry. And he starts then stating his perception as reality. Wherefore are we counted as beasts and reputed as vile? That was his perception of what Job had said. And so he starts to state his perception as reality. If you're not grounded in truth and you don't know how to truly handle the truth, you will begin to state your perception of the truth as reality. Does that make sense to you? All kinds of people quote Bible. Well, I think, well, I see, well, I experienced. That's your perception of the truth. And if you don't know how to properly handle the truth, you will start stating your perception of the truth as reality. And boy, I've seen this throughout my life so much, man. It is nauseating. Preachers begin to use the Bible to beat their church. Listen, I'm a hard preacher. I think I'm pretty straight, pretty cutting, pretty direct, right? By God's grace, my goal is never to beat you with that book. It's to preach that book with everything I got in me. You know what the Bible will do itself? If you need to be cut, it'll cut you. And if you need to be healed, it'll heal you. My job is not to take that Bible and go out and start beating other people with it based on my perception of what it says. One of the number one things I fear is looking at my Bible, running to a verse, and then jumping to my own conclusion on that verse because of my perception from my life. Do you realize your life and your circumstances and then your heart, your maturity level, your mindset, your background will cause you to have a perception of truth that may not be actually properly applied truth? Anything without a context is a pretext. When you study your Bible, when you minister the Word of God, when you give somebody else a verse, you better make sure you understand that verse in the context of that verse, because anything without a context is a pretext. In other words, it's your preconceived notion. A pretext is something that is used to accuse or to do something or to say something that is not accurate, maybe based on a half-truth or developed in context of misleading information. In other words, it's where you say something that has enough truth to it, and you take that little half a truth from over here, and then you plug it in over here in a separate context, and you set it up into such a way as to lead somebody to believe it's saying something it didn't actually say. Are you with me? And the devil is the master, of half-truths and whole lies. There's enough truth in it to make you believe it. Well, the Bible was translated by men. You're going to get that one. Just enough truth in it to make you believe it. Yea, if God said ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Well, yeah. Anything without a context is a pretext. He pulled that thing out of there and he put that thing in such a way as to cause her preconceived notion of truth to run off and to damn the world. Ain't that smooth? He tells the Lord, cast yourself down. Jesus says, or turn the bread into stone. He starts using the word of God. Jesus says, the Bible also says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You know what he couldn't do to the Lord? He couldn't derail him from truth to take truth and misapply truth. The Lord was so faithful when he took truth, he applied truth properly. And you and I as Christians, we can't be misapplying truth. And all these nut jobs now running around. Man, more and more of these guys, because of the coronavirus fake and all the rest of this stupidity going on in the world around you, they're starting to say you and I are going through the tribulation. You're misapplying truth based on your stupid preconceived notion of things. The Bible hasn't changed and truth hasn't changed. I could care less what you think is going on in the world. It doesn't stinking matter. How do you think the Christians felt in World War II? Hello! You need to read some of the stories of what some of those young men were going through in World War II. Yeah, I can't even stink and say it in public. You have no idea the devastation that went on. We panic over a one-day drop in the stock market, and everybody acts like a bunch of idiots panicking over their stupid money when this country went through the Great Depression. And they were the last great generation. What do you think they were thinking? Do you think maybe they were thinking that Adolf Hitler was the Antichrist and that, I mean, nah, idiots are saying Barack Obama was the Antichrist. They're taking just enough truth and they're kicking out enough Bible words that trigger something in your spirit and then you jump to conclusions and start getting all worked up about stuff. Well, that's a trick of the devil. Barack Obama's the Antichrist. He ain't even the right race. The Bible describes him. Barack Obama was not him. Morons, man. Why? Because they take truth and misapply it. And they get you all worked up and get you drugged down and defeated and beat up by misapplying truth. Stupid accusations. As he starts coming in here in verse number 4, he teareth himself in his anger. Shall the earth be forsaken for thee? shall the rock be removed out of this place? He's saying, you're throwing a fit and you're rending your clothes because you're just mad. You're not really heartbroken, Job. You're mad at God. Whoa. Now you're overstepping. You see me rending my clothes and I'm in my clothes and I'm in dust and ashes, and you're saying I'm doing it out of anger instead of grief. As though your God know what's going on in my spirit. Folks, when it comes to trying to help people, do not presume to know what's going on in their spirit. Because when you hurt me, I'm not joking. It's been like this my whole life. If you hurt me, you're going to look at my face. Pain on my face looks like anger. I don't go, start crying. I go, oh! Oh! That's how I respond to pain. But you go, he's angry. I'm hurting. Do you get the point, the illustration? Don't assume that you know by their actions, by what you can see on the outside, that you know what's going on in their spirit. Boy, that'll preach. We're going to get into this on Sunday morning, and I think it's going to get pretty nasty on Sunday morning. Because culturally speaking, we judge by the outside all the time and miss opportunities to reach the woman at the well because we're looking at the outside and we think by the outside we know what's going on. A lot of people are hurting a lot more than you and I know they are. I had a guy that absolutely has beat me up. Literally, physically capable of beating me up. Tell me I have tons and tons of issues in anxiety and in fear and in all this, and you'd never know it by looking at him on the outside. You'd think, wow, he's a tough guy. He ain't a tough guy. He's got a tender heart and he needs help, and he'll kick your hind end all over the place. And you think, what a tough guy. No, you misread it. You misread it. He's not. He needs help. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's looking at Job and he's saying, oh, you're tearing your clothes in your anger. And what do you want? You want truth to be changed for you? The earth to be forsaken for you? The whole world revolves around you, Job? Shall the rock be removed out of his place? I mean, it's all about you, isn't it, Job? All truth and everything that's ever been ought to be changed for you. That's not what he ever said. You're picking apart what he says there, Bildad. And instead of being able to help him, you're attacking him. And you're a tool of Lucifer to beat him down even more when he's already at the bottom and God is not pleased with you in the way you're using God's truth. Boy, that's scary, ain't it? That'll preach. So then, without going through it, because I'm going to wrap this up, I'm not going to go through every verse, his doctrine's actually faulty. Even though he's got good doctrine. Look at verse 6. The light shall be dark in his tabernacle and his candles shall be put out with him. When I was a kid, they used to have these black lights, light bulbs that were black. You guys remember that? And red and green. And it was the punks that were trying to hide something. They put those things in their room or in the basement or whatever, and they try to get that weird, eerie, it's light, right? But there's a darkness to their light. Do you know a lot of people, when it comes to the truth, they have truth? Stay with me. They have truth. They have a King James Bible. Some of them, not many, actually know how to rightly divide that King James Bible. But although they have the truth, there's darkness in their tabernacle. Your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. You can have truth, you can have the King James Bible, you can know how to rightly divide it, and because your spirit's wrong, you misapply the truth you have and don't know when to apply it and how to apply it, to whom to apply it, where to apply it, when to back off, when to move forward, and therefore you can't help anybody or reach anybody, and that's why you've never led a soul to Jesus Christ. Never brought somebody to church when every one of us is capable of it at least once in our Christian life. And it ought to be I'm not saying all you need to turn into Billy Sunday, but every one of us before we die ought to be able to say, I brought that person to church and they got saved. Every one of us. You ought to be trying. I realize that Jeremiah never had any converts, and I realize it's possible for you to try and never have any, but you better make sure it's not because you're misapplying the truth, using it the wrong way, beating down somebody that's trying to serve God while Lucifer's attacking them and you're quoting Bible at them. This is what the preacher means when he says you walk into the hospital room, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. And ignorant little Bildads sit there and go, well, he shouldn't mock using the scriptures because that is true. That's the truth of the Word of God. He's already forgotten more than you've learned. And what he's saying is your little arrogant, selfish, self-righteous spirit that can quote verses needs to understand that sometimes there's a third dimension to all this stuff and it's supernatural. And the devil could be in on this, and then you walk in flippantly throwing verses at them that the Holy Spirit's already been running through their mind and through their heart, and they've been praying over and trying with everything in them to hang on to the truth of that, because it doesn't look like it in this lifetime. I mean, 10 kids died. 10 coffins. And everything I have is gone. And I know it all works together for good, but good night, God! Would you just let me die? And then you walk up. How you doing? I'm not doing very good. I just want to go to heaven. Well, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to purpose. You just took the truth that you can quote a verse you haven't lived. You can quote a verse you haven't lived. And then you can beat somebody down with it and you can actually hurt them. When the best thing is miserable comforters could have done is just sit there and been there with them. And loved them. And just seen them through it. And afterwards, you can say, man, when I was hurting, he came and he was there till the end. Man, he didn't leave me. He's a friend. Truth misapplied. So the dark light causes this person who has truth to not even be able to see clearly how to administer that truth. And then he starts making dangerous applications. In verse 11, terrors shall make him afraid on every side. Shall drive him to his feet. In other words, he's jumping at everything, right? He's sitting, because he's full of terror. Verse 14, his confidence shall be rooted out of his tabernacle, and I shall bring him to the King of Terrors. Hey, you're telling him he's going to wind up with the devil, and what you don't know is it is the devil that's actually doing to him what's happening to him. You got the truth, but you got it backwards. The devil's doing to him what the devil's doing to him because the devil's trying to stop him with the permission of God, because God's going to take this tribulation and cause it to work patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. And when you get to the end of the book of Job, you find out Job winds up not at all ashamed of everything he went through, even though at this time it looks really bad and other people are misapplying truth to him. And in every way he's going, God, why are you doing this to me? Why do I look so guilty when you know I didn't do anything wrong? And I know I didn't do anything wrong, but everybody else says I am, and all that stuff looks like it applies to me. Well, God was working something in Job that couldn't have been worked without it, and this guy's telling him the devil's going to get you, and the devil was already getting him. So what the devil did is he picked up that little baby Christian who just knew enough truth to be dangerous, and he grabbed him just like that, and he took that wrench over there, and he put that little baby Christian wrench with John 3:16 and Romans 8:28 imprinted on it, and he put it under the heart of Job, and he just tightened the bolt a little bit. Misapplied truth. You guys realize how dangerous we can be with this book? When we got the Word of God in our hands, and we can quote the authority of God. You don't think that scares the fire out of your preacher? My grandpa told me literally 30 years ago, he said, if you ever get to a point where you don't have blood of butterflies in your stomach, don't fight. Walk away. No matter how good you ever get, it doesn't matter. If you get to where you don't have butterflies, walk away. You know what the problem with us Christians is? We lose the butterflies. We lose the fear of God. We lose the respect and the reverence for the Word of God. We get a little flippant with the powerful
powerful, eternal book in our hands and in our hearts and in our minds and in our mouths. And we can take the truth and misapply it to the wrong person at the wrong time and hurt them. And boy, have I ever seen that. I've seen new Christians get just absolutely tortured by older Christians. You say, in what way? Whatever their hobby horse is. Seen a girl get saved one time off the streets, man. And I'm talking a bad, bad background. And the hobby horse at that particular church was, a woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. They never quoted the rest of that verse. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, showing you that it's talking about transvestites and cross-dressing. And it was just always, a woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, and that means pants on women. This woman just got saved. I'm talking bad background. Drugs, you know, and when you're on drugs and you don't always have the money to buy drugs and you're female, you know what you do to get drugs. This is this woman's background. And all of a sudden she's saved. And she goes from that to, now you got to wear skirts down to the ground, and you can't wear jewelry, and you can't wear this, and you can't wear... It was just like too much, overwhelming. Because somebody's going to force their agenda or what they perceive to be truth or reverse the Bible on somebody else and just push that thing on them. Hey, wait a minute. What if you're even right? What if you're right? Why don't we give people time to grow? Why don't we just feed them the Word of God and feed them the milk of the Word and feed them the milk of the Word and have a little patience and worry about all the nitpicky stuff later? Did you hear me? Why do we got to use the Word of God like a sledgehammer on a baby? You know, you're hooked on street preaching because you just think you're Billy Sunday. You know, you just love going out there and getting in people's face. And so some brand new guy gets saved who's a little bit more gentle and a little bit more shy and a little bit more backwards. And you're just on him about, brother, you need to be out on the street being a bold witness for Jesus. Be a bold witness for Jesus. You're going to run him out of church because you want him to fit your stinking image. You're a coward. You're not a real preacher. You're not a real minister. You're not helping anybody. You're beating up babies. Because you're a coward. You're more obsessed with them looking the way you want them to look. And what everybody's going to say about you, if they see you affiliate, I told you it's going to get ugly Sunday morning. Because Jesus has some time for the woman at the well. And you're more worried about making them look like you want them to look, or what Brother Jackleg across town is going to say about your church, if he sees them associated with you. So you're going to constantly take the truth that you may be right about, and just absolutely have to just BAM in everybody's face all the time. Give them time to grow. But what about with purity of the church? Absolutely. God expects that. So where's that line? The Holy Spirit shows us one person at a time, one situation at a time. If we're walking with Him and praying, God smokes all that stuff out and keeps His church pure. In the meanwhile, when people are getting saved and coming to church and trying to grow, don't take the Word of God and try to run your agenda on them all the time. You want to see me get mad? Back off on them. And if they've been in church a long time, longer than you, and they're going through something, don't jump to your stupid conclusions about what's going on, because maybe your Bildad, the baby, and he's the man that's walking with God or the woman that's walking with God. And even though sometimes they don't look like it, they've been walking with God a while. And maybe Lucifer's messing with them and going to use you like that little tool to put that thing on their heart and just tighten the screws a little more. Go with me, if you would please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to show you a truth that's misapplied on both sides of the street, and we'll be done. We're going to close here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse 1. Do we begin to again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? For ye are our epistle in our hearts, known and read of all men. Ain't that an interesting verse? Can I tell you something? Listen to me for just a quick second. I'm going to be done in just about 2 minutes, Lord willing. Listen. You know
when God speaks to your heart. And religion and church and other Christians will mess with you and mess with you and mess with you and mess with you. And sometimes they'll do it with the truth. And you'll sit back and think, well, should a preacher say that? Should a preacher act like that? Aren't we supposed to be love? Aren't we supposed to? And the devil will say, yeah, look at that. And yeah, look at that. And yeah, look at that. And oh my goodness. Oh, they don't have the standards you should have. Or he has too many standards. All that fault finding and finger pointing. All that confusion in your head. Listen, when God speaks to your heart, you know it's God. And that's exactly why a lot of you say, every time I walk in here, it's like he's been following me around all week. Every time I come to church, I'm getting something. Okay, if God is speaking to you here, then would you please think with me for a second? Would you calm your fears? Because if God is speaking to you here, that is God speaking to you. And isn't that the most important thing on the planet? So maybe everything else is the devil trying to work you up and use truth misapplied or use verses out of context to get in your head and drive you away from the place where God wants you to be to get fed. Truth properly applied. That's going to help you. Here are epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Verse 3, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust we have through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. We don't think we're it. I don't want you to come to this church because I think I'm the best preacher in America and this is the best church in America. It's not that we think anything of ourselves. But our sufficiency is of God. We have Him. We got His book. He shows up. He works. He's changing us. He's helping us. People aren't staying the way they were 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 years ago. People are making progress. No matter what faults you see, progress has been made. Verse 6. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. Watch it. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. You know why people mess up in truth? I'm done with this. The conservative crowd gets truth all messed up and winds up doing damage. And the liberal crowd gets truth all messed up and winds up doing damage. Do you know why? Because of their spirit. Because the liberal crowd grabs the Bible and runs over there to John 3, where we already preached on a week or two ago. You can go back and listen to it. And they use the Bible's excuses to be drunkards. And then the super conservative crowd, they run over to the Bible and they grab Deuteronomy 22:5, and they use the Bible to be a Pharisee. Whether you err on either side, it's an error. These guys are going to shoot at them. Those guys are going to shoot at them. They're going to say they're the problem with America and with Christianity and everything else. And they're going to say they're the problem with America and with Christianity. With it. We're not like them. We're the loving Christians. And we're not like them. We're the Christians that stand for truth. And both are wrong. You know why? Because they have some of the truth misapplied. You know the most important thing with truth is? The Spirit. When you understand the spirit behind that truth, which is the Spirit of God, and you get your spirit in line with His Spirit, and your mind on straight, and filled with His Spirit, and your heart right, then you know what you do? You look over there at that verse and you go, well, I could use that verse to justify something, but why would I if somebody would get offended? And you look at that verse and go, well, I could use that verse to say all these things and to preach at everybody, but why would I if it'll drive a new Christian out? Why wouldn't I rather use the Word of God and stand on the truth properly applied in such a way so that people can get the help they need, so that Job in his time of sorrow can get the comfort he needs, and use that truth in a way where God in the end of the book would say, hey, you guys, get over there. Bildad, come here. You and Job are going to go sacrifice for those guys because I'm accepting these guys because Bildad or Mike Reagan or you, he showed up to my servant in a time of trouble and he ministered to my servant with my word and he helped this man bear his burden and get through his problems. That man understood the spirit of the truth. Those guys didn't. Truth misapplied is equivalent to a lie. Let's pray.